Hello.
Hello. Hi, Nancy. How are you? This is Nathan here.
I'm all right.
That's great to hear.
I'm all right.
All right. So are you free to discuss regarding your book right now?
Yeah.
Perfect, perfect. So may I know, have you completed your manuscript?
No, I'm still working it, putting it all together.
Okay. How many things are remaining to complete your manuscript right now?
Oh, probably about 4, 5, 6 parts
okay.
of it, but I'm still working it, putting it all together.
So,
I figured I should have it done by September.
All right. So can you just brief me about a little bit more about your book? That what type of book it is, and what's your aim regarding publishing the book?
Okay. It's mainly a collection of memories of incidents, people, raising 10 children, dealing with all the grandchildren and great-grandchildren I have, places I've been, things that I've seen, people that's crossed my path, just general advice if you need it, just short stories, humorous stories for the most part.
Okay. Okay, and what's the purpose of your book? Like, are you aiming to have just the awareness for the book, or you want to make it to an investment?
Do I want to what now?
I'm asking
I hope it will end up making some money.
that's what I was asking for. Because, see, every person who is writing book have a different purpose. So I want to know what your purpose is so I can let you know what type of procedure we will be following for you and how we will publish your book and what type of return you will be expecting from our side if we publish and market your book. Okay. So, how many chapters you have completed? Are you done with all the chapters, or there are 3 or 4 chapters remaining?
No. I have one chapter that's just cousins. It's cousins, and it's various cousins growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And I have some pictures to go with some of the stories.
Because, see, Nancy, like, when you're writing a book, you have to make sure the content you are putting into the book should be audience-oriented. Because, see, you are putting your feelings in the book, okay? The experience, the exposure you have, okay? So it should be, the content should be well-versed and well-written that the audience should be attracted by the particular content. So that's why I want to know what sort of content you are writing so far. And if it helps you, what I can do for you, we can write the remaining chapters of yours. We can listen to the whole briefing regarding the experiences, the exposure, and what sort of experiences you want to add it in the book. We will add that, okay? But the content will be created as per the standard guidelines and would be audience attraction. So that's how you market your book. Because before going
to
the market...
A lot of people...
Mm-hmm.
I write a lot of my stories in family things is in on Facebook and my pages.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody keeps telling me, you need to write a book. You need to write your book.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I have thought about it several times. Irma Bombeck made a fortune writing her book. Gil Connor Brown, the Sweet Potato Queens, made a fortune writing her book. And it's the same type of book. I think I want people to think, laugh, cry a little, just enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And expose what my memories, maybe what's part of their memory.
Mm-hmm. I totally get your point. What your aim is, you want to let people know what sort of experience you had raising 10 children and the experiences you have faced in your life throughout the life years, okay?
Yeah, I'm 80 years old, and I've been around the block a few times.
Yeah, certainly, certainly. Having this age, you have a lot of experience and a lot of exposure. It's just like being through, done that. Being through, done that.
You know, one is the thing that's included in it. My first experience, I was raised for 6 years in the South, and there's seldom ever snow. You know, we get excited with 40 flakes in the air. It's to go to the store and get bread and milk because we may be in. But I moved to Illinois when I was 6 that spring. So the winter of 1950 was an experience for me because I was in the snow up to my butt. And it was forever. Walking to school in that kind of thing. And I went to a two-room school. We had first and fourth grade on one side, fifth through eighth grade on the other side. When I left eighth grade, there was a total population or total student body of 56 children in that school. And we sort of grew up over the years. You went to school with first grade, you ended up graduating with, you know. Anyway, and then this one that I wrote, and I've actually submitted it for publication. I'm waiting for them to decide whether it's going to be one of their contest winners to be published. I'm supposed to know the 1st of November. I'm waiting. It's basically the story of Strangers in the Night and how my husband, my late husband, and I met, you know, from the time we said hello to the time we said I do, was a total of 17 days. And we were married for 28 years and had 9 children together. Total, we had 12. Yeah.
Living
so
in Sarah and raising 10 children, it's a tough job.
We had 10 to raise. I'm the proud grandma of 15 men. Grandchildren and 61 great grandchildren with 2 more due. Yeah. And I have a multi-family. I have a Russian granddaughter. I have a Hispanic, Filipino, black. We have a multicultural generations. And it's interesting to me. It's interesting, and to the folks that I've written about and what I write, they keep saying, "Oh, write some more, write some more."
Amazing sounds. I would just say that's what I'm smoking right now. It's the first story I have heard so far that in this era, you have raised 10 children, having multicultural thing. It's fascinating.
I told when my children come from a broken home and they said, "No, it's not a broken home. You have to be married." And I said, I am. I said, "My husband's with me, but the TV's broken, the coffee table's broken, and one bed spring is broken." I come from a broken home.
But still, you managed to fix it up. That's really amazing. Being through that, it's very difficult. I would say many people just give up. You didn't.
No.
That's what inspires me. You didn't.
Well, when we first met, and we were talking, he had a 2-year-old and I had a 5 and a 7-month-old, a 5-year-old and 7-month-old, and he said he'd always wanted a large family, and he said, "What do you think?" And I said, "I don't know." I said, "What's the figure?" He said, "Oh, I was thinking maybe a dozen." I said, "That sounds good." I said, "As long as you can support them, I don't mind having them." And we laughed, and I said, "But I want to count the 3 we're starting with in that 12." You know. So as soon as we had our 12th one, that ended our child. We have 12. We have 2 angels.
Amazing. That's amazing. See, a woman who has raised children at that point when you are broken and still supporting your husband with it, that I'm fine with it, I can manage it. That's empowerment.
Five of our children were delivered by daddy. We had them at home and he delivered.
Okay.
Yeah. The birth certificate says, for Dr. Sanya, it says daddy.
Seriously, when I heard in overview, like when you said it, like raising 10 children, I said it's okay having 10 children. But the story you're telling me right now, that sounds fascinating. That how you raise them with the multicultural thing,
yeah.
that's a different thing. That's very unique.
Well, and then I taught school for 10 years.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a lot of time with children, but you know, it was sort of some advice that, you know, my mother used to give me advice every time I'd go over to her house and send me home like a walk-in medicine cabinet if my children sneezed in front of her. And she said, you know, and I said, yes, Mama, I'll remember that. I didn't tell her that I would do that. I just say I would remember it. But, yeah. And the year Santa Claus brought me away a tiny pierced doll. Mm-hmm. I was 4, and they gave me the doll. So Santa Claus brought me the baby doll, and I gave it a bottle, and that doll went on me, and I threw it across the room, and I had nothing to do with it since. No, that was a bad doll.
Ah. Okay. So there has been up and lows. There has been things that you can put it down the storyline. It's really like going on a roller coaster ride right now.
Yeah, in the story, my mother had cancer, and
sorry to hear that.
She was. That's all right. The cancer isn't what killed her at 98. No, but I was little, and it was in the spring, and we lived in the Alabama at the time. And my mama liked dogwoods, and Daddy and I bought in a tree because we bought in so many branches you couldn't see walls, because mm-hmm. that's what my mama wanted to see, dogwoods, and we did that. But anyway, my mama lived.
Mm-hmm.
It was some years after that.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so...
I need to talk to a little bit of book about faith.
All right. See, your book has a certain potential because your book has a multicultural thing. That's a unique faith you have discussed. Plus, raising 10 children, being a mother, and looking after them, raising them, and making them the one they are right now, It's a very difficult challenge. It's the challenge people used to give up right now. That's inspiring for the women who fear to have children and raise them. Do you get my point?
Yeah.
Okay. So what I have for you is what I can do for you right now is if you allow me to write your book with your feelings and your story, you can check 2 chapters from my side, what my writer will do for it, and you can give the feedback. If you like the writing, we will continue writing it. We will let you know how we're going to tweak this story, how we're going to make it more attractive for the audience who's going to read it. Because that's
okay.
Okay, so I will send you the email of a writing thing, that how we're going to write your thing, and just for a query, just let me know how many chapters you have think about for this story? How many chapters should be in the book?
There shouldn't be more than 12, but like I said, there'd be, you know, fairly short chapters. Some of them are very short chapters. Some of them look a little bit more pages, but there shouldn't be more than 12 topics that I wanted to cover.
Yeah, it should be precise, but it should be effective. That's your point is.
Yeah.
It should be impactful. All right. So I'm going to send you an email with the proposal, which I have for you, we're going to write the story for you, because see, you writing the story, it will take a lot of time, a lot of effort, and there is a certain part of creativity. The creativity part implies on the content where the writer aims to have a climax for each chapter so the audience can move to other chapter. It builds the interest step by step, chapter by chapter.
Yeah.
Do you get my point? So that's what I'm aiming for, okay? And I'm going to send you the email along with each and everything mentioned, that how we're going to write this story, that how much time it's going to take to write the story, how many days it will take one chapter on, okay? We will send you chapter by chapter, and you can reply back with the revision if you need any, okay? And along with that, the feedback, you can tell us if there is a room for adjustment as well. Sounds good to you?
That sounds doable. Okay, I'll look forward to the email and I'll see what we can do.
All right. Nancy, just need one thing from you. It was lovely speaking with you. Just heard a story, and I'm going to tell this to my mother. No matter what.
Okay.
My sister is very concerned of having more kids in the future because she thinks it would be difficult for her to raise them. So I'm going to let her know. Don't worry about it. I just heard the story, and you can do well.
Well, you know, you have to remember, times were different then. Daddy worked, and I stayed home. You know, now you just about have to have a two-income family. A lot of things have changed over. If I had to raise 10 kids today, I'd probably say, no. Let's stop at two.
Totally got it. It's what we have to tell people. Because over here, if you think in this era, current decade, women are...
But then when you stop to think about it, okay, it doesn't have to be all that. Because you don't have to give your 8, 9, 10-year-old a high-dollar iPhone. You don't have to give your child at 16, hey, happy birthday, here's your new car. No, my kids, none of my kids were given a car. They earned their car.
Yeah, that's... It should be. That's how it should be. I would say, tell my experience.
Yeah.
I have been raised in New York. Okay, there were tough times because my father was retired, and we didn't have much money to spend over my college, my expenses, and that was very difficult times. And that at that time, my mother told me that now you are a part of family. And as being a part of family, you have to contribute as well. And if you contribute, it means start doing efforts for it, okay? If you want something, start doing something, okay? Because it's not going to come along with your father's money. It's not going to come along that we have ancestors' money, okay? You have to make it so. So that's how I came into the job. I started doing serving in McDonald's. Then I moved to Starbucks, and that's how I came into a company then. So after spending because see, this is the call of patience right now. So I've been patient. I did understand at that point. I was at 17 years. Okay, I had to go to a good university. My friends were going. I was so fascinated, but at the end, now if I think I am at a better position than them and earning good money, and now my mother and my father are happy because they have
I finally graduated with my bachelor's degree when I was 45.
Congratulations, and it's an applause
and
for
I
you.
Started teaching and I started teaching. I taught for 10 years. I had to take time off for my youngest son, and I homeschooled.
See, what you did it for a family, right? You did it for your children.
Yes, because I told my husband, because I was sitting at home, and I told him the thing that is if something happened to him, you know, he made good money and a livable wage and we had reasonable housing. And I told him, I said, you know, if something happened to you, I would be, I would not be able to raise these kids on $35 minimum wage. I want to go back to school. And he laughed at me about, you know, okay, you know. And I got a grant that paid my schooling.
Yeah, exactly.
And I did the school, and I got my junior, I did my junior college. The first year of my junior college, I ended up going the last 4 weeks with a newborn baby.
How did you manage that? Just tell me. I want to hear that. I want to just talk to my sister about that. And I
well, he was. I had classes on Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And I went Monday to my class, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. I went to class on Monday. I went to class on Tuesday. And a couple of the guys in my class offered to follow me home to make sure I got home okay. And I said, no, I'm all right. And I said, okay, but, you know, you be careful. And because I was driving 40 miles from my house to the college. And I got home. It was Wednesday afternoon. I was off from Wednesday. I didn't have class Wednesday night. I ended up going into labor.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband come home and got everything set up, and we put the kids went to the neighbor's house while the baby was being born. And so the next day, that Tuesday, I got up and we went early and had stopped by the doctor's office, had him circumcised, and then we went to class. They said, what in the heck are you doing here? You know, and I said, I'm here for the class. That was a speech class. And they said, oh, my God. Okay. But, yeah, I towed him to school for the next 4 weeks.
Hello?
And my instructor told me, he said, I can't give him an A because he didn't participate in class. But they did, the college did a little write-up in the college newspaper about him being the youngest ever to attend a class. You know, the next year when I got my associate's degree, I went down, I marched down to get in my cap and gown with another baby on the way.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't let that stop me. But then I took a break after I did my junior year. I went to Auburn on the president's and dean's list, and my grades got me in a ride to, I got a free ride to Auburn for a year.
Ah.
As long as I kept my grades up.
Mm-hmm.
So I did my junior year at Auburn, and then I took what I said was going to be a year off, but it ended up 10 years. I was supposed to graduate in 79. I graduated in 89. But, hey, I made it.
If I say it about professional life, if I say about personal life, you nail it both ways.
My husband's health got to the point that he couldn't work anymore. So he said, and I told him, I said, well, I'll go back to work. And I said, I'll go to work. And I started teaching. And yeah, he took over being Mr. Mom, and I was at school. So it was different, but we managed it.
Okay.
And when he passed, we had a 14 and a 16-year-old left, and the 14 had some issues, and so I just took a year off to take care of him and get him back on track, which now he's a very successful auto mechanic, working in high-dollar autos and making a good salary. He touches your car. You're going to pay him at least $70 an hour just to look at it. But he does the Lexus and the BMWs and the Rolls.
Being through the challenges taught you well.
Yeah, and each one of the kids are a good hard worker. I don't have a doctor and I don't have a lawyer. I have one that's I have two nurses in the family. And one is wanting to go back to medical school, but right now she's going to have a baby. So that's on hold. And I have a paralegal. But I do have four or five that could actually come in and turnkey a house from the foundation up and give you the key. The construction workers, I have mechanics, I have electricians, air conditioning specialists, plumbers. I have the ones that I knew that I would have to pay a high dollar for, and they'd say, hey, I say, hey, pull my mama card. Can you help me?
See, that's what a wise woman can do. And you have been wise, you have been patient, you have been amazing. Seriously, it's an applause for you for the life you have experienced so far and managing it so well. It's an applause for you.
Yeah, and see, somebody said something about they were thinking about going back to school, but you know, at 38, they didn't know. I should go back to school. It's the adult thing to do.
I'm asking you, you still had that motivation after so long for graduation. You still had in it, in yourself.
Yeah, well, I still would like to go another degree, but right now I just don't. I'm not pushing myself to it.
No problem. What I can assume that you can do wonders. Still at this age, you can do wonders.
And I love to travel.
Who doesn't? That's something, it's common. Who doesn't? I love to travel as well. I've been to many places.
I just finished a month-long vacation.
How was it, by the way?
It was wonderful. I spent time in Illinois with my cousin.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked her into going to Colorado with me. She had never been in east of Davenport, so this was going to be a trip. But yeah, we went to Colorado and did all the sightseeing that you do around Denver and the surrounding towns.
Mm-hmm.
Drove to Pikes Peak, but we didn't get to go up the mountain because of snow. And we drove to another campground where my daughter used to camp, and it was blocked off because of snow. We got into two different snowstorms.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you get when you get in the mountains. It still snows.
Yeah, see, what my fascination is, like, what I used to enjoy is, like, having a beach, sitting, reading a book, or having a mountainous area and exploring it as much as I can. That's how I enjoy myself.
Yeah, well, me, best enjoyment is sitting on the front porch. Just watching the yard. I got a front porch that runs from one side of the house to the other.
All right. Okay, so Nancy, I'll be shooting you an email along with all of the things mentioned with the prices of the services. Okay, and then you can discuss further regarding Sorry, come again.
Okay, I appreciate it.
All right,
talk to you another time. I need to get up. It's 6:30. I do need to get up.
Yeah, perfect. That's fine. That's totally fine with me. Okay. Just do one thing.
You tell your sister.
Definitely. That's gonna be done today.
You tell her it's never too late to get educated, and it doesn't matter. If you have one child or 10 children, you make do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you don't have to go to all this expense. You know, some of these folks get crazy. Buying high dollar clothes and all this stuff for your kids. I mean, those kids don't need no $200 night.
You are so right about it.
It's a matter of priority of what you want and how you raise them. I mean, you know, if you raise them to be materialistic, if you tell them, you know, oh, we got to have these Air Jordans, you know, you got to buy these. Or I had a grandchild that wouldn't wear nothing but Apostle Tommy Finger.
Obviously, because if you have to manage it, you have to manage wisely. You need to set your priorities, what your priorities are.
Well, your priorities, what your priorities are. See, I spend a major amount of money, my money on restaurant eating. I love being out. I love to cook. I cook so many.
I'll tell you one thing. First of all, I'll tell my sister about it, she's going to be frustrated at me. She's going to be showing anger on me, because that's what she has been discussing with my mom, that she don't want any children now. She just have one child, okay? She doesn't want to raise more children because she has a fear of dealing, how to deal with them in the future, because there are expenses, there are things which need to be done for the children. So my mom was telling her that you have to be patient about it. You have to set for the basics first, then you have to move for the luxuries. You can't give luxury to each and everyone.
Well, you got to teach them, you know, what's really important in life. You know, kindness to other people.
Exactly. Telling them about the ethics.
I love Goodwill. God knows we spent a lot of money with Goodwill. And I said when I got married the first time, when I started having children, my children were not going to have hand-me-down clothes. Well, that ended just a few months after I had the first one, because they outgrow faster than they grow. I mean, faster than you can buy.
That's true.
You put on an outfit one day, and 2 days later, wait a minute, where is this? It's small, and you gotta go back. So I ended up, you know, thinking, and I told my one son, he got him a job at Kroger stocking, and he took his first paycheck, and he bought a $35 pair of blue jeans. He proceeded to put in the bathtub with a jug of bleach. And then he rolled it around in the outside and washed it in the mud now, and then washed it.
The way you taught them, they're following them.
$35. I said, you could have gone to Goodwill and got him for $2 and done the same thing.
Yes.
But I said, it's your money. You earned your money. You earned it in the best way you want. But I said, you know, you got to stop thinking. A $5 pair of jeans at Goodwill is just as good as a $35 pair of jeans at wherever.
Yeah, you need to know where you're spending money and it's going to work out or not, and how it's going to be. So you have to have a wise thing to be done. So that's your teaching. That's your thing. That's what you did with your children. Now they have value.
That's what you have to do. That's what they're doing, and most of my children have pretty well taught their children to survive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a big one. It's not so much as what you gather, because God knows you're not going to take it with you when you die.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know.
Exactly. It's got all going to be in the world, and nothing would be there. Your deeds would be there.
I told them that I broke. That it's my money. I earned it. My bad kids don't need my money. And my good kids have got more money than I've got.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to use every dollar that I have when I go. My finance expenses is all taken care of. Everybody knows what they're supposed to do when I go. But I said,
yeah, it should be the right time to do it. It should be a right time. At the right time, the right thing can be done.
Oh, I've done that. I've done that 28 years ago.
That's why I told you you're an inspiration for my sister, and I'm going to tell her about it. So, because after 3 years, I got to have this story. Like, this is the first story I have heard, and it's unique, it's amazing, because people come with the stories of having dogs and having what they have faced in life. That's all it. But raising 10
I can do that. I've messed up heart and I had cancer. I'm an 8-year survivor of cancer.
You have to put that in the story part as well. You have to put that.
I'm here. I'm here. Well, one of the chapters is on cancer because it's my mother and the family.
Yeah,
and, how we survived and how we handled it. And like I said, my father had cancer, but his cancer isn't what killed him. My mother had cancer. Cancer isn't what killed her.
I totally get it.
My grandmother had colon cancer.
Having high moral values, you have it. Because the only thing that makes you survive is having high moral values. So morally, you're very strong. You're very strong. Because see, none of the disease can kill you until and unless you give up your
strength. When I get your email, I will respond with one of the stories about the four women who mean a lot in my life with a picture. I will send that to you. And this is kind of like what I'm putting in the book.
Exactly.
This is kind of the story.
I want a certain life event, a life event which can turn out to be the inspiration for the others. Because those events can be put down into the content of the book in the chapter-wise format. And once the person will start reading it, they will have a step forward for their life. Like each chapter would be teaching them stepping up for the next phase. That's what I am aiming for your book. Okay. So when I'll send you the email, you can send me back with the materials and all of the things you have gathered so far. Okay. After that, we will be on call. We will discuss further and we will then process further. Okay.
Okay.
Perfect.
I appreciate it, and I'll talk to you later. You got my address, right?
Sure. Just one thing. Just send me your email address once again on the same number I have called you from.
Okay.
The same number you were chatting on?
I'll do that right now.
Perfect. It's great to have a word with you, not for the purpose of having an order, but for the purpose of my sister. So I'll make sure to have this.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Welcome. You're welcome. And thank you so much for sharing your story with
me. Okay.
I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Just share the email with me. Okay? Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye for now. Have a good day.